An epic and humorous tale of political strategy and family dynamics, The Lion in Winter, set during Christmas 1183, tells the story of King Henry II, Queen Eleanor of Aquitaine, and their sons, Richard, Geoffrey, and John, as they play a deadly game of real-life chess. Winter takes the throne.
And who will come out on top as the ruler of England and the ruler of the family? The Lion in Winter proves just how absurd and lethal family rivalries can be.
Don't know anything about that, do you? The Lion in Winter is now up and running at the Berkshire Theatre Group's Fitzpatrick stage. It's been getting rave reviews and it plays through July 13th.
And to tell us more, we welcome two stars of the production, Jane Atkinson, our neighbor, who received Tony nominations for her roles in Enchanted, April and The Rainmaker, and has also been seen on Broadway in Blithe Spirit, Our Town, and Ivanov. Here, television credits include Criminal Minds and 24, and she was in the Netflix series House of Cards. She plays Eleanor of Aquitaine. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Alan. And we welcome Treat Williams, who plays Henry. Treat Williams began his career on Broadway as Danny Zuko in Grease. His first big film role was the part of Burger in the film version of Hair. For four seasons, he starred as Dr. Andy Brown in the critically acclaimed series Everwood. He's been nominated for four Golden Globe Awards, an Emmy, and has won two Theater Guild Awards. He is just an amazing actor, and it's a pleasure to welcome you both to the program. Thank you very, very much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
What is it like to work so hard on something in a really short period of time, and then be able to pull this off and get wonderful reviews and sort of take over the Berkshires?
Well, it's fast and furious, but it's also tremendously fun. And the group that we've put together, that Bob put together, and Treat and I together, we just, there's a great chemistry, and it's two people who are veteran actors. We've done this a long time, and we sort of look at each other and go, let's play. And so despite the fact that it's just a short period of time, because of that expertise and because of it's something that we love to do, and we have a great rapport. Mm-hmm. Treat and I definitely have a wonderful rapport. We have a great rapport with everybody, but these two people who have to sort of get in there and do it really quick. It just, you know, the synergy of that and us knowing each other. And
have you worked together before?
We haven't, but we've tried to.
Because you're in Vermont, you're in the Berkshires, so you're close, but.
I have to say, by the way, regarding reviews, that you made my day because I don't read them.
Me neither, so it's wonderful.
That was nice to hear that we got some nice reviews.
Well, the press people for BTF, or Berkshire Theatre Group, put out a press release yesterday of nice blurbs of these reviews, and they're just stunning.
Great.
Absolutely stunning.
I was going to say, to add to Jane's comment, I think you have to have a different mindset when you're doing summer theater. When you go to do a Broadway show in New York, you have 5-week rehearsal period, 4 weeks of previews. So you walk in there with a book in your hand and you begin to figure it out. I think you have to be prepared to come in book free if you can do it, and sort of do a lot of your homework before you get on stage.
Treat did that.
I had a little more notice, yeah. But I think that really helps if you have the mindset that I should be what we call off book, which means to know your lines, and then begin the process with that under your belt. I think it makes it a much easier process.
And Treat also has just been amazingly happy to have me in, you know, as a partner, and that makes things so easy. And I also did a one-woman show on Eleanor of Aquitaine.
Jane Atkinson is the best actress I have ever worked with.
Whoa,
in 40 years.
So
great.
What makes,
no one
what makes
comes
that
close.
Besides that she's here, what makes that?
Well, it's a combination of experience and humor and intelligence and a knowledge of stage and a knowledge of audiences and the love of what she does.
So when you're on stage and you are saying your line and you look into her eyes, you know that you have in some way a net, right? Because there is a connection between the two
yes,
of you.
Yes, and when I've forgotten the line and I look into her eyes, I know I have a net.
Me too.
Right. And that's one of those things that you can't cast that.
You cannot cast that. And some people could get very freaked out, some people could get angry. And like last night, we at the end of the play, we're finishing up and something happened and we both started laughing because something happened and we looked at each other and went, "Oh well," and we just move on.
How do you memorize all those words?
Well,
with great difficulty.
I don't get that.
It's our job.
In the sixth grade, they told me to memorize the second stanza of the Star Spangled Banner, and I still can't do it.
You know what I think?
The driving force is fear. You're afraid that you're going to end up looking really ridiculous, and that fear drives you to
it's
learn
amazing.
Those lines.
It's amazing.
For me, it's when I connect to a part, it becomes almost the wheel, the mantra of the story. And so as the words are the way in. The words are the way in. And so the more you connect to the character and the more you connect to the story, the words just start to be that way into the story. And so you just get immersed in the words and immersed in the story, and character flows through you. It is a gift, I've got to say. And as you
get older,
it's a gift to be able to do it. I can't tell you exactly how that happens, but as one friend said, it's a job. Carl said, it's a job. But and as you get a little older, it gets a little scarier because you think, okay, is this working just as well? But
right. I wanted to just jump back one second. One of the reasons I think Jane and I work well together is that we have the same, I think the same mindset about what we want to do. And both of us want to be very good actors and do very good plays. A lot of actors are interested in other things. And I think we've always been interested in great writing, great text, and trying to put on the best production of what someone wrote. And that's not always the case. And I think that's one of the reasons we work so well together, is we honor the work of James Goldman. And we want to, you know, every night it's about, what did he intend?
Right.
How did he want this thing to be seen?
And let me ask you about balance, because you both have been very successful at balancing a very successful career in the theater, but also on television. And of rock, paper, scissors, what trumps what? I mean, obviously, I mean, you were for 4 years and there is a stability that comes with that must be very nice. It doesn't come with being a theater actor. And you got that house of cards. And that is a great, that's a great show.
Yeah, it's in Baltimore. It's close.
I think the balance is you get finance. You can finance your children's education. You can find some security so you can go back and do more theater. There's a downside to television, which is the hours are excruciatingly long. And I remember on Everwood, after 8 hours of acting, and we'd go into hour 13, 14, and 15, I kept saying, I'm all acted out. But you have to keep going. And I think that's one of the things that you have to learn, how to pace yourself for those long days.
Now, actor versus human being. I mean, I have my favorite shows too, and when I meet actors sometimes, I say, this isn't the guy, you know. I know, at what point does human being, because you sound like a human being right now.
But it's not true.
Yeah,
not,
it is true, and that's another reason why I love working with Treat. I will say, I
he's forever an actor.
Well, I want to just say one thing about Treat is that I have worked with a lot of stars.
Sure.
I mean, if you look at my career, it's like amazing how many stars I've worked with, and they've all been lovely. But there is a down to earth. I'm ready to work. I'm ready to do this thing. I'm ready to have fun. That I feel with Treat, that and a respect of my work. I'm not.
But Jane, you two, you both, I know you fairly well. I mean, well as you could be, as well as I could. But you guys are capable of talking about anything, doing anything, having a human dimension, where some actors, when they don't have words in front of them, don't have that. Does that make any sense to you at all?
Yes. I think it's because I'm interested in people. I really am interested in people. I reflect the human condition, so I'm interested in people, and I'm interested in other things. You know, I love my family. I'm interested in how, you know, keeping that going and nurtured. And I've always felt that if I didn't have that balance in my life, I could be alone with a cat and really not be very interesting.
I'm a closet farmer.
He is.
We've got a farm in Vermont, so we're raising.
What do you raise?
Chickens.
Chickens?
Right, and all kinds of fruit trees and vegetables. And also I fly airplanes, and that's always been a wonderful grounding you know, that you know, you can get a review for a performance that you thought, I was pretty good, I don't know what this guy's talking about. But in an airplane, you fly from point A to point B. It's an accomplished task. You know you did it well, and nobody can argue with it.
Well, in Great Parenting, where Jane and I live, we all live, I can tell you that we're not allowed to have chickens. And I don't think that's right. I just wanted to make that point. You're not allowed to have chickens in Albany either.
And yet you can have them in New York City on your terrace.
Isn't that something?
Amazing.
There's something wrong about that.
What a world.
Do you keep the chickens in Vermont, or do you have them in New York too?
No. We don't live in New York anymore.
Oh, okay.
We're only in Vermont. We have our little chicken house, and the chickens are there.
Yesterday he got up, and he had the whole day free, and he drove back to Vermont, surprised his girls, and he worked on his farm all day, and then came back to do the show.
With eggs.
And this morning I'm paying for it.
I bet you are.
With eggs.
No, they're not really eggs.
Nobody does come back with homemade, his own maple syrup.
I do make maple syrup.
Oh, that is
we
great.
Got that for opening night.
Yeah.
And I think that makes for a good actor. I think that makes for a good actor being a good human being, is to have other passions, other things to talk about with other people, because otherwise you become very self-absorbed. There's a point where you do need to be self-absorbed. I'm all for self-absorption, by the way, because I think that's a really good... Right? It's okay. Look, I'm okay with that.
Not me.
Oh, God, I would love to say something.
Say it.
No. You were talking about this earlier. I think it's funny with Alan about who you work with and the incredible list of people that you've worked with.
I know, that sounds a little much. But
But you were then also talking about, you know, the person. But you know, I saw you on stage in Blithe Spirit with Angela Lansbury, for God's sakes.
She's a human being. She's an amazing woman. And she also loves to work.
Yeah.
She, you know, that's her thing. But she also had a wonderful husband, and she loved him very much, and children. And she was very helpful for me because when she saw how it was hard for me to be away from my family, she completely understood and said it was the hardest thing for her to do.
Her brother is my neighbor. Small
oh, one, really?
Edgar.
I met him.
Mm-hmm. She, B. Arthur once told me that she had the filthiest mouth of any woman she's ever met in her life.
I only heard it once.
You don't know. You don't know Jane.
And I was thinking, wow, coming from B. Arthur, I wonder what that means. But that was a beautiful performance, and you know, I think that's one of those things that you look back on and say, well, that's pretty cool that you get to do that.
It was. We actually made Angela crack up on stage, which is something I think she could probably count on three fingers she's ever done, and we were opposite one another, and she started laughing, and we could not stop.
How'd you do it?
I didn't mean to do it. Something just happened, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, and she just started laughing, and it tickled her to both of us. And when we went back to do it again, we didn't think we'd get through it.
Bill Macy used to say to me, he used to call me the Rock. And the reason he called me the Rock was that I would laugh at anything. I would fall apart because I always thought he was so funny. And he'd say, well, here's Treat the Rock. You know, I say one thing, and for 5 minutes, we have to watch him giggle on stage.
Well, Macy's pretty darn funny.
Well, go see The Lion in Winter. It is an absolutely wonderful production. It's up and running at the Berkshire Theatre Group's Fitzpatrick Stage. It plays through July 13th, so time is fleeting. Go see it.
Bring a sweater, because it's cool in theater when
yes,
you come.
Yes, it
please.
Is
Bring
a sort a of Lion in Winter.
Yes. Yeah.
Winter. Berkshire Theatre Group. They're not bad in weather like this, though. Mm-mm. Bring the chocolate. BerkshireTheatreGroup.org for more information. Treat Williams and Jane Atkinson, I thank you so much for being with us. What a pleasure.
Thank you kindly.
Thank you very much.